We are in week four of this series called Live Unusually Today. Next week, we're starting a brand new series called Etched in Stone on the Ten Commandments. That will take us through the end of July, which those of you who are pretty sharp, that's 10 weeks. So 10 commandments in 10 weeks. Hope that you'll make plans to be a part of that. But today, we're finishing up the series Live Unusually. It is normal to be broke. It is normal to be in debt, and we're going to challenge you, we've been doing so, challenging you to live unusually, to be different. That's the big idea behind the series. Everybody else is doing that. Don't be normal. Don't live like everybody else. Live unusually. God wants better for His children. Now, the very first week, I challenged all of you, and some of you took me up on it, to begin, if you haven't already, to put God first in your finances. And if you would do so, to, you know, fill out a card, that sort of thing, or share some prayer requests with us. Well, I've been praying for you every day, believe it or not, I have, and it's taken a little bit longer than usual, no pun intended there, but I'm glad to do that. But I want to let you know, it's been kind of heavy at times. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." I want to ask you, if you would commit, when the Lord brings it to your mind, if you would just commit to praying for people in our church. You don't need to know the specific requests, but as the Lord lays it on your heart, on your mind throughout the day, just pause for a moment and pray for people in our church. In week one of this series, we talked about bringing back to God our first fruits, bringing back to God the tithe. And when we do so, it ensures God's blessing over our life. That's what the Word of God says. Give to Him the first fruits. Second week, we talked about saving for the future. And the first thing you need to do is to set aside, if you don't have it already, set aside $1,000 for unexpected expenses, right? I mean, you expect things are going to happen. So set aside $1,000 in an emergency fund and then build on that several months of expenses as you can and work on your long-term savings. I threw out just a number of about 10% towards long-term future savings. Then last week, we talked about the importance of contentment, being content. Perfect segue for today. Today, we're going to talk about living on the 80%. So going again, that number can fluctuate a little bit based on what you are, you know, setting aside for savings and that sort of thing. But I've challenged you to bring back to God 10%, put Him first, to save 10% for the future. And some investors might say, well, you need to do 15%. But that leaves, if you're decent at math, 80% that you need to learn to discipline yourself, to budget yourself, to live on. Now, some of you might be thinking right now, well, wait a minute, now you're getting in my business. Because if I'm setting aside 10% for the Lord, if I'm giving that back to Him, then the other 90% I ought to be able to do whatever I want to with. Right? No, that's not right. You're here at church this morning. Let me throw out an example for you. You're here at church this morning. Somewhere along the lines, you decided that you're going to be a part of church and come to church. You're going to give to God the first day of the week. You're going to set aside some time for Him. That doesn't mean that when you leave this place, that the rest of the day or Monday through Saturday, that you can do whatever you want, right? And yet some people have the idea that, well, if I give God the first 10%, I'll have His blessing over my life, and then I can do whatever I want. I can act like a fool with the other 90%. It doesn't work that way. In fact, God's blessing on your life does not eliminate the need for God's wisdom in your life. I hope you catch that. God's blessing on your life does not eliminate the need for God's wisdom in your life. I have a friend at another church, and he said that it's a large city. He said they found out that somehow a rumor was spreading that if you put their church's car sticker on your car, the police would not pull you over in their town. I thought about trying to implement that here, but I don't think we could get law enforcement on board. Some of you know that that's not the case, perhaps. Just saying, I've had one on our car for about 3 years now, and I've never been pulled over. But that's what some people think. They think that, well, you know, if I have some protection over my life, if I have God's blessing over my life, I'm immune to whatever else could happen. There'll be no consequences. That's not the way it works. Most people are normal in their finances. They're living on 100%. In fact, you may have heard the statistic we've been talking about the past few weeks. 60% of people in the U.S. live paycheck to paycheck. 60% of people live paycheck to paycheck. So they're living on 100% or even more. Here's another number that blew my mind, recent article I was reading. 50% of the people in the U.S. live beyond their means and don't even know. How do they do that? Well, they get paid, they pay their bills, and then they spend all their money, and then something happens, and it's like, well, we'll put that on the credit card, we'll get points. Or we really want that, so we'll go take out a loan, and it's not that big of a deal. And then after a while, the credit card bill comes in, it's like, say what? And they're shocked because things are catching up with them. They'll get to the end of a year, and they've worked an entire year, and yet they have nothing to show for it, for their year of hard work. And yet sometimes they're even more in debt, more deep in the hole, so to speak. Well, add to that, 34% of people that have credit cards in the U.S. only pay the minimum payment at any given time. 34%. And you figure that up, the average credit card debt is over $16,000, which means 34% of people are going to be paying off that $16,000 in credit card debt for 30 to 40 years at times if they don't get a better plan in place. Now, those of you who are wise about these things know what they're doing, what some of you are doing. You're putting a sofa or a TV on a credit card. And so if you think this through for a moment, is a TV or a sofa going to last 30 or 40 years? Of course not. And so 30, 40 years from now, you're not going to own the sofa or the TV any longer, but if you're not careful, you could still be paying on the debt that you're taking out today. We have to do better. God has called us to better. That is what people usually do. But I don't want us to be normal. I don't want us to live usual. Let's be unusual. I have a financial health checklist for you this morning. It's in your program today. There are verses from God's Word that correspond with each of these points. But we're just going to work through these very quickly and then continue on. It's very simple. Financial health checklist. Yes or no? Number one, am I honoring God with the tithe? Number two, yes or no, do I have an emergency fund? Again, $1,000 is a good place to start. Number three, yes or no, am I saving for the future? Again, 2 weeks ago, I said 10% is a good place to start. Number four, yes or no, am I paying more than the minimum payments on debt? And if you don't have any debt, then you automatically get a yes on number four. Here, number five this morning, yes or no, do I have margin in the remaining? Let me tell you something about the list. You have to get all yeses to pass the checklist. If you check all yeses on this checklist, then congratulations, you're already living unusually. You're not normal. You're not like everybody else in the world today. But if you answered no to one or more of these questions, I have to tell you, I have to be honest with you, you need to hear the truth. In order to see change, you need to make some changes in your life. God did not call his children to be normal. So we need to learn to live on the 80%, or that number may fluctuate based on your savings, of course. But how do you live on 80%? I'm glad you asked. Number one, increase income or decrease expenses. That's it. You really have those two options. Or you can kind of combine the two and work them together. No, it's not rocket science, but you increase income or decrease expenses. When it comes to living within your means, and your means being 80% or less, those are your options. Now, I'm going to make an assumption that you're working hard, okay? Now, as I was praying through some of the things that people have shared with me and talking with some of you, it became very clear that many people in our church are struggling to find work or struggling to find enough work or enough paying work or that sort of thing. And so I did something this week, and I'm not a huge fan of Facebook, but I'm on there. I use it. I put a post on my Facebook page saying, hey, if you're an employer or you know someone who's hiring or you're hiring, would you please, you know, share that here? Because there's good people in our church looking for work. And so I'll say it again this morning. If you're an employer, or if you know someone who's hiring, would you consider, you know, posting any job things on there, and we'll find a way to connect you with good people from our church. If you're looking for work, there were a couple things that were already shared on there this week, so go take a look at it. But I'm assuming, as we're talking about your money and finances, for today's purposes, that you're working. That's the people I'm talking to. And if you're still not living within the 80%, what do you do? Well, maybe you go to your boss and say, I need a raise. And sometimes that will work. Sometimes it won't work, but maybe that's something. But here's what you need to understand. You don't solve money problems long-term with more money. You don't. You fix money problems by changing behaviors. Now, I know there are people here in the church today that say, well, if I could only win the lottery, or when I win the lottery, then all my problems will be solved. If that is your financial plan, then I understand already why you might be in financial trouble. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11 from the New Living Translation says this: wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows over time. So it would seem that's the biblical kind of wealth God wants us to have, the kind where we're diligent, we're working hard, we're putting some money back. But most of us have probably been in a place in our lives financially where it's like, well, if I could just, you know, just get the dots connected, if I could just figure out how to get all my finances in order. I know it's going to be complicated and things are going to have to come together. If I could just figure out how to overcome this huge financial hardship in my life, things would be so much better. And friends, I'm telling you, it's not all that complicated. I'm going to put the cookies kind of down on the bottom shelf today so that everybody can get a hold of it. It's not that complicated. You either have to increase income or decrease expenses. That's it. It's really not that complicated. So again, maybe you ask for a raise. Maybe you pick up a second or even a third job, or maybe you turn a hobby into some sort of income-bearing activity, that sort of thing, providing a service. I don't know, but here's the thing. You can work all day long and overtime and extra jobs and earn extra money, but if you have a problem on the spending side of the ledger, it's not going to make a difference long term. You can work overtime to save up to pay cash for a car, or maybe pay off some debts or pick up an extra job, but you cannot do that long term. Especially those of you who are parents to young children, I would counsel you, don't do that unless it's the absolute only option. The long term solution for most of us is to cut expenses and live within our means. By the way, most of us, many of us in this room are probably, I'm just going to jump into some expenses we can cut right now. So it's going to get a little personal. Most of us are probably wasting some money, at least in some form or fashion, in a certain activity. Can you guess what it is? Go ahead. Coffee? That's a good one. How about eating out? Eating out. Now, I'm not saying don't eat out ever. I mean, we eat out in our home, but if we are not careful in our family, we end up eating out a lot more than we ought to. In fact, you know, here's a family wasting money having fun right now. So many of you are thinking, you're leaning over saying, there goes the lunch plans. You know, ladies, don't hate on me that you'll go home and make a meal now. But if we're not careful, we eat out more than we want to. Here was another element in an article I read. Warm weather seems to increase the amount that people eat out. 50% of people said they had a higher frequency to eat out during the summer months. So here we are. Be careful going into the summer months. 18% of Americans eat out fast food several times a week, with the average American eating out 4 to 5 times a week. See, some of you are above average, right? But spending $230 a month on eating out. So if you happen to be a family of four, let me tell you what that can do for you. If you want to save some money, how about eating out one less time a week? If you eat out 5 times a week, how about eating out 4 times a week? Did you know that over the course of a year, that could add up to $2,500, even as much as $4,000 over the course of a year if you would eat out one less time a month? Now, some of you, well, how many of you think that $2,500 is a lot of money? Okay. Any of you who did not raise your hand, come up after the service and give me $2,500, because it's not a big deal. But I'll explain it this way. If I were to say to you, or someone were to say to you, you need to earn an extra $2,500 this year, many of you would kind of freak out and think, well, how am I going to get an extra $2,500 this year? What am I going to do to come up with that kind of money? Here's one way, if you eat out enough already, to save $2,500, which is the essence of gaining $2,500. Here's the thing, though. Saving money is actually easier than earning money. Saving money that you have is easier than earning money, but the problem is spending money is so much more fun than both of those, isn't it? Saving is easier than earning, but spending is so much more fun. That's the problem we have. What about cable TV? Oh, getting personal now. And those of you who have cable TV for the sports, I can't argue that one. We don't have cable TV in our house. We just don't. But here's the thing. In our day and age, other than sports, there seems to be an alternative. doesn't there? I mean, there's Hulu, there's Slingbox, there's Netflix, there's all kinds of ways to watch your shows. You may have to wait a day or a week, and you'll only save yourself $100 a month. But many of you already DVR your shows anyway and watch them 2 weeks later when it's convenient. So does a day really matter to wait? Probably not, based on the savings that you can gain. And if you work for the cable company, God bless you, that's okay. I'm just saying, look for ways to save money. It's okay to save money. It's okay to not spend money. If you can change your car insurance or homeowner's insurance and save some money, perhaps. I know many of those things are, you know, smoke and mirrors. But if you do the research and find a way to sincerely save some money, then consider that. It's okay. Don't be afraid to break a relationship with a long-term person. Okay. You can consider energy savings methods on your home. Summertime. Maybe this is a time of year that you can prepare for winter coming. I was reading about some ways that you can save money on the efficiency of your home. You can put more insulation in your attic. As soon as we finish a bathroom remodel that we're saving up for to pay cash with, then we plan to blow more insulation in our attic. You can re-caulk the windows inside and outside and doors on your house. A few years ago, we went through and we replaced all the windows, and by we, I mean me, and Kevin Baver one night, because it was a big 10-foot picture window, but 9 o'clock, but we replaced them. I haven't done this, but I've heard that you can put solar screens on your windows. You can do research on your appliances, or like our home, you could get rid of your dryer altogether, and my wife now hangs all our laundry on a clothesline out back. Just kidding. But you could research your appliances and find out if there are ways over time to save some money. Maybe upgrade some things. And it'll cost you up front, but you don't put it on a credit card. But maybe you'll see a significant drop on your utility bill. There are ways to save money. Make things last longer. We live in a culture that everything is disposable, is it not? Something kind of starts to mess up or break, and we just throw it away and we buy a new one. Make things last a little bit longer. Our Suburban, as of today, our 2000 Suburban has 207,000 miles on it. I'm hoping for 250,000 before we have to make another decision on that. We bought that used in September of 2003. So this September, I think, will be 14 years. Our Tahoe has 167,000 miles on it. They're still running strong. I heard some people talking about their new car a couple years back. And it was kind of a conversation. I was kind of, you know, eavesdropping a little bit. And they said, their friend said, what happened to your new old car? Because they just bought a new car, you know, about a year prior. And they said, well, the check engine light came on. True story. So we took it back to the dealership and we traded it in on a new car. And I'm thinking, I got multiple lights on my dash. And but the wheels are still turning, the gauges look okay. I checked the oil at the gas station, we're all right. We had check tire pressure lights on in our Tahoe for 5 months. I'm not proud of that, okay? But I was trying to figure out how I could personally change out the tire pressure monitor sensors, because if you've ever done that, you know how costly it can be. I did some searching. And I actually took the tires off the car, took the valve stem out. I used my floor jack and some ratchet straps to break the bead on the tire, took the pressure sensor out, put the new ones in on all four tires, aired them up, put them on the car, put my vehicle in learn mode, and got them all functioning again. Probably took me about 2 hours, and I probably saved about $400. And none of you are going to ride in my car ever again now because you're worried about the safety of it. By the way, if you need an auto technician to work on your car, we have some great, honest business owners in this church. I will point you in their direction. But find some ways to save money, to not spend money. It's okay. Before you pull out the debit card or make the purchase, just ask yourself, is there another way? Maybe you can ask yourself, does God want me to do this? Or maybe does he want me to wait a little bit? I mean, we're okay with waiting, aren't we? I mean, let's say we see somebody show up to church on Sunday morning and their car's kind of beat up. We're not going to judge them. We're going to give them a high five because they're saving money, right? It's okay to save money. It's okay to not spend money. We're going to be doing some things around the church to fix it up, to update it. We could borrow a whole lot of money and fix it up all at once, but can't we kind of do things as we can pay for them to the best of our ability? We have minimal debt. Why increase that? So let's be okay with waiting for some things. Here's number two this morning. Ask God for help and guidance. Ask God for help and guidance. Most people usually don't talk to God about money. They don't. I don't know about you, but did you know that God cares about every aspect of your life? Not just how much scripture you know, not just, you know, how your relationships are, but God cares about every aspect of your life. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? God gave up his son on the cross of Calvary for us. A light bill? I mean, that's small time. And so when you talk to God about money, don't feel like, well, God, you know, I don't really want to bother you about this. It's not a bother to God. God wants to know what's going on in your life. He wants to give you wisdom, so ask him. James chapter 1, verse 5. The ESV says, I'm sorry, the Living Bible, I changed this last minute. If you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him. He'll gladly tell you, for he's always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask him. He will not resent it. The NIV has it worded this way. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So ask God for wisdom. When you ask, it's not like God is going to say, well, are you stupid? No, he wants to help you. He wants to hear from you. He wants to be in relationship with you, even in regards to your money. Now, I know I might be oversimplifying things today, but I'm trying to make a point. God knows about your needs. Your needs right now and your needs in the future. I don't know how long you're going to live, but he knows your needs for tomorrow and a week from now and a month from now, 5 years, 10 years. God knows 25 years from now what you're going to need on a Monday. So ask him and he'll tell you. There have been a few times in our life, For the most part, we have done very well living within our means, but there have been a few times when we've really been pretty tight and struggled, and so we've kind of searched for some answers. And besides looking into God's Word, one of those resources that we found was very helpful was Dave Ramsey. Who's familiar with Dave Ramsey? Anybody? This is not a commercial this morning. I'm just going to kind of explain what he does, and I'm hoping I can get some technology to work today, but it may not. We'll see. Either way, Dave Ramsey, I'll explain it. He has an envelope system. Those of you who know Dave Ramsey, his system, are familiar with that. Envelope and cash. So basically, you get paid, and you pull out money in cash, and then you have envelopes for different areas of your life. You have entertainment. You have gasoline in the car, groceries, all these different discretionary type things. You put cash into those envelopes, and then when a friend comes along and says, hey, we're going out to a movie. Do you want to come? You can say, well, wait just a minute. Open up the envelope. If you have enough money, great. If you don't, you say, hey, I can't go right now. That's how Dave Ramsey's system works. It's a great system. And if you want to do that, then wonderful, go for it. How many of you use that system or something very similar? Cash, envelopes, works very well. It's painful, in fact, to spend the money sometimes knowing that, hey, it's not a credit card or a debit card. It's going right now. But what about nowadays, when people who don't carry a lot of cash around? Sometimes today people use debit cards. I'm more of a debit card kind of guy. In fact, 2 weeks ago, when I had a $20 bill up here and kind of showed that to you, I feel bad telling you this, but that morning I was like, I need a $20 bill. Rather than run to the ATM, I got it out of the petty cash this morning and shared that and then put it back after the service. But I don't carry a lot of cash. I use my debit card. And so how can you make a debit card kind of work for that? Well, it's not going to work for me, so I apologize. But, nope. Okay, oh well. So I heard about this system, and we've been using this for quite a while now, and it works great for us. We set up a few additional accounts. I don't know about your bank, but our bank allows us to set up multiple accounts. And you might be thinking, yeah, but there's fees involved. There's ways around that with either minimum balances or direct deposit. So we have a couple different accounts designed for different things. We have a bills account, checking account, and we have a cash checking account. And then we have an emergency savings account. And then we have our other long-term savings accounts, off-site. What I mean by is I usually have to make a phone call or, you know, do some extra movement to get money out of those. It's still fast, 24 hours, but it's not right there. And so my direct deposit goes into one account. My wife's direct deposit goes into the other account. That's how we keep it free. And then based on what my committed expenses are that month, the promises I've made to the electric company, to my mortgage company, to the other utility companies, based on those promises I've made, I put that amount of money that I need into our bills account. And then when I get a bill, I don't have to worry about it because I've set aside the money for it. And then all the discretionary stuff, like groceries, because it is discretionary. You can either eat steak or you can eat rice and beans. And so all the discretionary stuff, like movies and gasoline in the car, that's discretionary too. Well, I can't go there because I don't have enough gas, and I don't have enough gas because I don't have enough cash to put in the tank right now. So I need to say no to that activity right now. All the discretionary stuff, we put in that cash account, and I try and keep that balance at a minimum so that I'm not tempted to overspend in that area. And then our unexpected expenses savings, and then our long-term savings. And of course, before I do any of that, we've already sent some money off to the church. 10% every Monday goes to the church. So that's how our budget works. I know people that take that to another level, and they get prepaid debit cards. And there's a he and a she prepaid debit card. And so they'll put $200 on a prepaid debit card, and that's the husband's spending money that month. Or $200 on the wife's prepaid debit card, and that's her spending for the month. And that's how they budget themselves and control things in this era where a lot of people don't carry cash. So either way, find a system that works for you, that makes it a little painful for you, or at least thought-provoking before you just spend money on things that you would rather not spend it on later on. I know some of you are probably thinking this morning, well, what are people going to say if I say no? What are my friends going to think or my family going to think if I can't get involved in this activity that they want me involved in? Well, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, God says, don't worry about what people think about you. I mean, I paraphrased it a little bit. It says, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Don't be afraid of what other people think of you. Don't be concerned about what other people think of you. The bigger question is, what does God think about me, right? If you're a Christian, a follower of Christ, that's the big concern. What does God think about you? Again, do you know it's okay to save money? Do you know it's okay to not spend money? I know I've mentioned this before, but we mow our own yard. And by we, I mean my son. We could afford to pay someone to mow our yard, but we, and by we I mean I, would rather keep that $100 in my own account. Now again, if you need someone to mow your yard, there's some great options in our church, a couple great business owners that do that for a living, and I can point you in their direction. But here's the point. It's not a matter of just spending, it's a matter of living within your means. If you can afford to pay someone to mow your grass or work on your car or buy all the toys in the world on the 80%, then do so. God has blessed you in that way, then do so. The problem is most people are living on 100%. They're not giving anything back to God first. They're not setting aside for their retirement or their future when there is no harvest. And they're doing all of this acting like everything's okay and like it's normal. And so if you cannot look at your finances and live within the 80%, then you need to cut some things out. You need to learn to live within your means. I try hard not to spend all of our money because I don't want to be dumb. It is dumb to spend all of your money. It's even biblical. It says so. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20 says this, wise people live in wealth and luxury, but stupid people spend their money as fast as they get it. We don't want to be that way. We don't want to live like everybody else lives. So look for ways to save. Look for ways to not spend money. It's not a matter of just, you know, honoring God with the first 10% and then doing whatever you want with the rest. You've got to honor Him with all of it. This may be a gut check for many of us today. I hope that somewhere along the way, I really hope most of you have been inspired and encouraged because you can say, you know what, we're living within God's will and we're seeing His blessing over the course of our life. But I'm willing to guess most of us, maybe it's been a little bit painful. So ask yourself, what do I need to do personally to move things to a place where I can be living within God's will? Here's what I do know. Money will never satisfy. Again, the fix to your money problems is not just more money. So number three, find your satisfaction in God alone. A little repetitive of the last point in the message last week of love Christ and not things. But find your satisfaction in God alone. If you want to get this right, you have to find your satisfaction in Him alone. You might win $100 million in the lottery someday. I don't know. Maybe someone in here will do that. Who knows? You better return to God the first 10%. I'll tell you that. But here's one thing I know about you and one thing I don't. One thing that I don't know is what you would spend it on. I don't know what you'd spend it on. But I do know no matter what you spend it on, it will not satisfy you long term. Some of the most depressed people, you've read the stories, are the people that have tons and tons and tons and tons of money. And they do everything they want to do. And they have every pleasure that they want to have. It's kind of like Solomon, who wrote in Ecclesiastes, who had access to anything and everything under the sun. And he said, everything is meaningless. It's all meaningless. Now, we need money to pay bills. I get that. I'm not saying it's a problem to have some money. But money is not going to satisfy. There was a young girl in the UK who just a few months back, this is in an article in the New York Post, she won the lottery in the UK, and then she sued the lottery because having so much money ruined her life. So she's suing the lottery for more money. However that works. But did you know this about money? If you're messed up in here, or if you're messed up here, having more money only makes it easier for you to show everybody else in bigger ways how messed up you really are. That's all it does. So let's find our satisfaction in the right place, in God and God alone. I don't have time this morning to show you how to set up a budget and all of that. But I do want to point you to a couple resources. If you don't, there's a lot of tools out there. But if you don't have any type of budget at all, and if you'd like to get started, there's a simple budget form out at the Welcome Center this morning. Should be enough copies if you'd like to take one home with you. At the bottom, just an easy way, and it's kind of along the lines of either a cash system or kind of a debit card system. One of those two ways. Either will work. At the bottom of the sheet are some links to some resources online for tools that will help you budget, help you assess your net worth, help you look at things like, well, how fast could I pay off my mortgage if I paid a little bit extra every month? If I gave up coffee or something and put that towards my mortgage? All kinds of things like that will help you get a budget in place and live by a budget. Good stuff. Here's the takeaway this week. What is one thing you will start doing this week to live unusually with your finances? What is one thing you'll start doing this week to live unusually with your finances? I want you to stand up this morning. We're going to pray together in just a moment. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, please understand that He loves you so much. I mean, He sent His Son for you. And if you would take that step of faith today, if you would put your faith and your trust in Him, if you'd get baptized, I want to encourage you to consider that before you leave today if you haven't made that decision yet. Or if you'd like prayer, we'd love to pray with you before you head out. Let's pray together. Father, we